Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my husband, David Garcia. Do you guys hear my
voice? Name is what?
David Garcia.
Okay.
Even he wants to do this podcast, even though my voice is like gone.
No, you didn't tell me it was gone.
You've been hearing me. I live with you. I'm literally crying. I live with you. We've been gone for a while.
Yeah, welcome back to the summer edition where it's like 85, 90 degrees right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, very nice.
And I'm back at work, hence why I'm exhausted.
Yeah, so we have the windows open. I'm in a tank top. So if you guys hear any cars or any weird sounds, it's because it's coming from the open windows. We don't have AC, so yeah, we gotta suffer a little bit.
I'm fine. I would have done it with the windows closed.
Heck no. I need the wind movement in here.
Okay, yeah. But let's give an update. Why have we been gone? How was it? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks that we've been gone.
Which I've been saying we should do like a summer break, a winter break, like school. Now school does.
You literally want to take.
Like school.
You literally want to work and do all like your hobbies like 3 weeks out of the 52.
Oh my goodness. And, or like seasons. People do season one, season two.
No. Here's the thing. When did you start work? Last week?
Yes.
So that was like a little. You're still getting used to your whole schedule. I don't know. We've talked about it in the past episodes of like what happens to Grace in the summer, and it kind of happened again.
I worked out.
No, nobody said that you don't work out, but it's like some way, some shape or form. It's like you hit the brake like really hard, and like you didn't like stop what you were doing, but you kind of shifted it into like summer hours or whatever. And that completely messed you up. And then to start back up, like,
which we need a teacher on this podcast. If you're a teacher, we need you, because being married to a non-teacher can be sometimes frustrating, because when you're around teachers, you know, like everyone says, it is so hard going from 100% on to then zero. And like so many people, teachers are adjusting now, and they're just like, oh my God, their body's aching because they're not used to it. Their voices
are
gone.
Their bodies are aching. You teachers are so dramatic.
Their voices are gone because we're not used to talking all day, projecting. Nah. And so I need.
The projecting I get.
The exhaustion you don't get of telling students and being with them, not sitting down. I literally do not sit down. Okay. So why were we gone? Oh, because of me, you said, because of my adjustment.
Yeah, we're getting adjusted. I'm getting adjusted too. I think last week, last week on Sunday before you started work, I did that. I sprained my ankle real bad. I was simply running and I'm almost tired of hearing people like ask me the same question, and I wish that I could answer them the way that they think I should answer them. Because their questions are always, oh my gosh, like, did you hit a pothole? Oh my gosh, did you hit a bump? Like, and it's kind of sad that I keep telling people, like, I think it's just the age. Because I don't think that I hit a bump. I don't think I hit a pothole or nothing. My foot just decided, let's go sideways for a quick second. And at that second, I put my weight on it and I heard a crack. And so I fully sprained it. I'm in a boot. I'm trying to find a physical therapist. And that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was sleeping with this boot in bed. And I hate sleeping face up. It's the worst. I can't do it. It's almost exactly like sleeping in a airplane chair. It's the worst. Hate it. So I was just completely done. And I didn't even finish the sentence to you where I was like, hey, should we take a break? And you were like, yep, done. We're not doing it. Yeah. Sometimes there's sometimes where I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling it today. And you're just like, nope, we're going to do it no matter what. And I'm like, all right, I like that push. But this time I didn't even finish the sentence. You're like, nope, yeah, done. We're not doing it.
I'm tired.
And then the week before that, it was something similar too. But I think you were overwhelmed I think you were about to start school and that was stressing you out too. And I think I saw like that you were overwhelmed. I'm like, well, I mean, and then to do the podcast. So I saw you. I saw you. I felt you. And I was like, nah, she needs a night off. So yeah, well, that was just back to back. But on the up note for a kind of cool update, not that you guys asked for it, but we officiated our first wedding on Saturday.
Well, you did.
You were there with me, standing next to me. We do everything side by side, step by step. Oh.
Let's go one more.
No.
Well, that's your
Oh, go one more. Oh. Yeah, so shout out to Juan and Tiffany who got married on Saturday.
Yes, congratulations.
They gave us the huge honor and privilege to marry them. And it was amazing. I loved it. I loved being able to marry them and have a message for them and, you know, kind of send them off and be the first to pronounce them man and wife and first to pronounce them Mr. and Mrs. Martinez. Like, it was cool.
They're a beautiful couple, like so sweet and genuine.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then the bride's sister and dad had me tearing up too. Oh man, those two got me with their speeches. But yeah, it was a great time. Me and my wife got to go to the wedding without any kids. So we really enjoyed ourselves. This happened before the wedding. And I immediately, that same day, I think that it happened, I told Juan, I'm like, I sprained my ankle. I'm probably going to be walking around with a boot, and I'm going to show up to the rehearsal in a boot. But I promise you, no matter what pain I feel, I will not have a boot for the wedding. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. But yeah, I showed up with no boot and it held up. You know, there's a certain way where I could walk where I'm okay. But it was a good time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Me too. We had fun.
Any more updates for you? I think I said everything. My two things.
I can't think. I'm back at work.
And you love it.
I'm not.
What's God teaching you through this process right now?
I'm not hating it. I'm not hating it.
Yeah, what's God? I feel like, you know what I feel like? I feel like for you, teaching is almost like having another baby. Where you know like, well, me and you were like, we have two really good kids. Like, why take a chance on the third, right? Like, we have no idea what we're going to get. And I feel like it's this kind of the same way with you. Like, whether you like it or not, as long as you become a teacher, you get a new baby every single year.
Oh, for sure.
And you have no idea if it's going to be like a quiet one, like a one that listens or the one that yells. Because last year, I feel like you were like, oh my gosh, this is the best year ever and blah, blah, blah. The kids are so respectful and da, da, da. And this year, like day one, I think you were just already like playing the violin. Like these are the COVID whatever babies and blah, 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 blah. Like you already had built up this like giant that you had to go against. And you're like, it's not the same. So I feel like there's some years where you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And the other years is like, oh, these kids are not that great.
Actually, someone my first year teaching told me, now that I forgot about this, but now they bring it up. Someone told me that in every like 5 years, there has like one bad one. I don't know how true that is.
You teachers. Like I swear, like
teachers come on the podcast.
The Monday Blues or something, the March
Sunday Blues,
March Madness, and then there's the Rocktober.
And no one's gonna understand.
And then there's
except
like every 5 years,
teacher.
And oh my goodness, you guys have like a thing for everything.
Yes.
And it's usually not a good thing. It's all of them. The things that you come up with is all bad things.
I wonder why.
Oh my goodness.
I wonder why. Seriously, I've heard things like people say, you know, how citizens are required to do jury duty. They should be required to sub one day.
Light work.
You couldn't even do church kids for 2 hours.
Light work.
Yeah, just like Pilates. Light work.
Yeah, that was bad.
Okay. But.
But.
Let's get started.
Let's get started.
It's my turn.
It's her turn.
And I want to title this. I mean, you could change the title if you want, but at least for the thumbnail. But I want to title this The Cost of Being Better.
The Cost of Being Better. Okay. All right. All right.
Or The Price Tag of Being Better.
All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we say better every day and we talk about how we have gotten better, the benefits of being better. And now I was thinking, and honestly, I might be just in a negative funk,
mm-hmm.
like a negative headspace. I don't think it's a funk because I have a feeling it's not going to last long. I've been in a really good mindset.
Yeah.
It's just a week or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm tired and I think it is with the adjustment. And a lot of opportunities are being given to me, which are amazing. Like, I want to say yes to all of them. Mm-hmm. I think I've said yes to most of them.
Yeah.
But they're all good things in my life. So I'm not complaining like in any way, shape, or form, because I'd be complaining more if I didn't have those.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot at once. Like in the same season, like I had such a huge rest period where I literally was doing.
You had a what?
Rest period.
Right before that?
I literally.
Did you say you had such a huge rest period?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't remember. I had a rest period and we're like, I was with my kids. I think I was working on some videos, like it was like 3 for the month or something. But rather than that, I didn't really have much. And so I was reading books, like nonfiction, which for people, I read a lot of fiction, but nonfiction because I was bored. And so going from, I think, that environment to just all in, because ministry also took a rest, a little, like we had a little summer hiatus. And so that also started up. My TikTok brands, all of a sudden, they didn't want to work with me in the summer. Now they want to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a bunch of things at the same time.
Okay.
Our son started soccer around the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has helped with me feeling overwhelmed and just, again, in this little funk. Plus, it's the time of the month this week, so that's fun. That I'm just like, let's talk about, and I don't want to say the pessimistic, because it's not pessimistic, but I think the reality of that there's a cost to being better. And what does that cost look like? When is it worth it? When can the cost lead to burnout? How do we prevent it? So.
What I hear you say, though, is more is better, which isn't true.
No, I'm just saying right now in my life, that's probably why I'm thinking this. Quote unquote negative, but not negative, just realist. Like I've just been thinking. Like I was giving context to why I'm thinking this way.
Yes, but you said that the title of this is The Cost of Becoming Better. So how do you put the two together? Because what it sounded like, what you said was right now you feel overwhelmed because everything that was kind of on pause during the summer
mm-hmm.
went resume kind of at the same time.
Correct.
And so now you're getting back into the groove of things.
Correct.
So where does the cost to be better come in?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what got me thinking
mm-hmm.
of like, this is a lot. Like, wouldn't it just be easy to walk away, not work out, not be consistent on my social media? And so thinking of that there's a cost
mm-hmm.
to move forward, even if you don't want to move forward, to get better, to grow. It's talking about that.
Yeah, I think when you talk about paying a price, you pay a price on both sides.
For sure. Just
which one is, I guess, more valuable. Like, let's say, like you said, you could easily not work out. You could easily just not eat healthy. You could easily not study. You could easily whatever. And anything that you want to do, you could easily not read the Bible. You could easily not do all those things. And what it seems like in the now is, oh, my life just got so much easier. And because my life got so much easier, I have this perception of peace. But then the price that you have to pay later on is you aren't better. You got worse. You got out of shape. You got unhealthy, both spiritually, physically, mentally. Whereas on the other side, where you could call it the side of discipline, you pay the price now, but you gain the freedom later. And I did hear this Navy dude, I forget what his name is. It's not Goggins. It's this white dude. He's pretty intense too. And he basically says discipline leads you to freedom. And everyone kind of like, there's some people that question him, like, how can that be? He says, you pay the price of discipline right now. But as time goes on, you become better to the point where everything, because of your discipline, kind of becomes easier. The things that used to be hard for you are no longer hard for you. And actually now, putting that together with what we've been reading in Deuteronomy, there was one part, I forget what chapter it was, but it was basically like, I have to look it up. So when next time you talk, I'll probably look it up and I'll say exactly what chapter and what I said. But there was a part in there that was basically like, oh, you're going to go into this place and you get to enjoy it. And you get to enjoy all these fruits and things that you never really worked for. You know, God's just going to bless you, basically. And I remember like reading that, and you know, me and you have been reading Deuteronomy together, and we've been writing notes. And in the notes, I just remember as I was writing the notes, and that's why I love about journaling and like, you know, devotional stuff where you actually write things out. Because as you're writing, whether it's God or just like mental like cabinets or whatever that are open and just like, oh my gosh, like there's something there. I was writing, and I'm like, you know what? There's parts of our life, mine and your life, where at one point we wish we would have been where we are now. And because of the discipline that we paid before and that we practice over time, we have now gotten to a point of a perceived comfortability where, like, for example, right now I have this ankle thing, right? And I can't bike or I can't run. And I was a little down, and my friend Sergio was like, you just need to refocus, man. And at first I was just like, oh my gosh, like whatever. But then it just clicked. I'm like, I'm going to learn how to swim. And with learning how to swim, like, I mean, you think that it's just like going into the pool. And the same thing with people think like, oh, I just have to run. I just go outside, whatever. It's cheap. And it's not cheap. So I ended up buying all the equipment that I need to go swimming. But the fact that I can easily just click, 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 and we're good. There's no debt. There's no worrying about it. We're not going over budget. Like there's nothing. Like we're completely fine. Like that is a sort of promised land in my mind. You know, like somewhere where we wish we would have been before. Mm-hmm. Somewhere where I'm sure God has been calling us to. Like continue being financially wise, to be able to get to this point, to be able to be blessings to others, for you to be able to get the desires of your heart, like per se, like, And so that's the price that you pay up front. Up front, it's the discipline. It's the hard. It's the, this might even suck. But as time goes on, those things that used to be hard get easy. And you're just like, this is nothing. And I wish I was smarter to like describe this. But I think there is also, that freedom is also amplified when you hear others say that they're struggling in the things that are easy to you. You're like, oh, I remember when I was there. And it kind of like reminds you, like, this is where God had you before and this is where you're at now. Like, be grateful. Hmm. So, yeah.
I do think, as you were saying, for sure that discipline does get you to freedom. How you said that, Navy guy, because I totally believe that. I think even biblically we've seen how it is countercultural, or maybe like a paradox where it's like, how can following God lead to freedom, and people just it doesn't make sense for them, but that for me makes sense. I think what you were saying in regards to, you were saying how like, oh, the discipline, how we're going to see ourselves in the future and saying, oh, that like we are where we're at now and our young self like desired it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like butchering it, but something like that. And I do think that our mind like even changes. There's a Bible passage that says like God knows the desires of our heart, but it's our desires start like shifting. Like God starts granting our desires because our desires start shifting and turning more into like his desires.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think similarly when we're disciplined and stuff, it's not like, I don't think it becomes, well, it becomes easier in the sense that we've done it a lot or we become like more free or whatever. I think like we just genuinely like it and enjoy it more and like see that as more valuable because our mind has shifted throughout that whole process.
And I think part of that shift is it's similar to like going to the gym. I've heard a lot of people use that analogy of like you grab 20 pounds, whatever, and you start curling and you do that, let's say every 2 days for, I don't know, like a couple of weeks. Eventually, when you started struggling at 10 reps in like 4 or 5 weeks, you're now busting out 20, 25 and you're like, okay, it's time to move on to the next one, 25. Okay, let's do that. And the same principle keeps going and going until one day you're curling, I don't know, 35, 40 pounds. And you're like, I used to curl 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think for certain people, especially for me and you, it's the progress that also motivates us to continue going forward, right? Like, oh, we see it like mm-hmm. that we're getting better. We feel it that we're getting better. And I think it aligns with what God wants. Like God wants us to be better. Like for ourselves, I'll never say just for ourselves. Never, never, never.
Mm.
We get better to be able to be a blessing to other people, whether that is through just influence, through inspiration, through actually meeting somebody at their needs, teaching them how to fish and sell it instead of just giving them a fish. Like
yeah.
There's so many ways. But we can't be that person until we ourselves have gone through our process of discipline. And discipline, I don't think ever like ends. That process of discipline never ends. Like it's not like, oh, hey, I went through like 2 years of discipline and now I'm no longer disciplined. And, you know, no, like it always continues. But every time that you look back and again, going back to Deuteronomy, like, you need to sometimes remind those around you, remind yourself, remind your children of like, this is where God has brought me out of. And again, it might be a remembrance just to myself. Like, David, don't you ever forget, like, this is where you used to be. And you are here now. And it's not by your strength or your intelligence or whatever. Like, it is by the grace of God that he allowed you to be disciplined. He allowed you to do the work and he blessed you along the way to the point where you're not even close to where you were before.
Yeah. But let's talk about the cost of that. Cause even how you keep bringing up Deuteronomy
mm-hmm.
from them to get to Egypt, to the promised land,
mm-hmm.
not only is it a process, did they have to learn and did they have to grow, but there was a cost to that. And so what are, I don't know if you want to talk about like Deuteronomy, the costs of them, but like the costs that you've seen in your life done, which ones maybe were easy, which ones are harder than others, so that when people are listening, because I feel like, let's be real, so many of us, even maybe us at one point, we get inspired, we get motivated. Maybe it's bad timing or we're naive to the fact that it's going to be more difficult than it is. And so we get hyped up, we do it for a day, a couple days, and then we get off the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Instagram and TikTok, like there's so much, I don't want to say filters, but just the good reels of it, like the good aspects, that people aren't being introduced to the difficulties, the cost. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're walking into it naive. So it's like, okay, let's, like, this is what you're getting into. And it's not that it's bad, but it's like, be willing to pay the price, because it is going to have to be paid. Whether you want it or not, you cannot get better by desiring it. Mm-hmm. And by waking up older. Like, you can be 50 years old, 70 years old, wishing you started when you were 30, when you were 40. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen. Like, you have to put in the work. There's a price that you have to pay. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so what do you think?
Comfort. That's the price that you have to pay.
That's definitely what
that's the biggest price that most people will have to pay.
Yeah.
And that's the one that most people aren't willing to pay.
You think that's the hardest one?
That's the hardest one. Comfort. People want the end goal. They desire the end goal so much. Mm. And that's why they go, I want it so much. And I see this person that got it. And they kind of gave me like an outline of how to do it. I'm going to go into it. And naive. But the moment that they get into it, they always try to find this certain way to make it their own. Because they go, well, and especially, like, let's be honest, especially in the Christian world right now, like, I'm not called like she's called. So this is going to have to be my own way.
So you're saying they're trying to...
They're trying to manipulate. Shortcut. Yeah, they're... America is full of trying to find the shortcut.
Yeah, the fast pace.
Look at Ozempic. Ozempic blew up. Oh my gosh, this is the fastest, easiest way to get thin. Like, especially in the health industry. Oh my goodness. Like, all these people that are like, this is how you can get shredded in 30 days. Like, all a bunch of baloney. All of it. And in the same way, like, a lot of Americans are salespeople. They want you to buy their product. So they're gonna have to like turn the knob of exaggeration quite a bit. And that's why they go like, what sounds good? What's the selling point? 30 days and you'll be richer. 30 days and you'll have a mega church. 30 days and you'll be shredded. 30 days and you'll have an amazing business. Mm. Like, and then people eat that up like, yeah, yeah, 30 days. I can do that, 30 days. I'm sorry, but nothing good takes 30 days. It takes a lot more than that. And it is your comfort that you have to pay. Like, people are not willing to pay their comfort. They're not. And they're trying to manipulate every single situation to be able to, okay, I can take a time. I can stick my little pinky out of my comfort zone, but the rest of it needs to stay in my comfort zone or else I can't do this. Granted, we do preach 1% better every single day, right? So maybe it is a pinky. But guess what? The next day after that, you're going to have to put the second toe in. And then the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, your foot, your knee. You're going to have to eventually fully go out there.
Yeah.
That's the only way that you're expanding. That's the only way that you're growing. You have to pay the price of comfort. I mean, I don't know what else there is.
No, but I think even comfort is so large.
Let's talk about it. Comfort of time. Who wants to pay the price of time?
Yeah.
Either. Comfort of sacrificing. Sacrificing what? Okay, again, time. Let's say health-wise, okay, you're not going to be able to eat all the bad stuff. Let's talk about finances-wise. Okay, you're not going to be able to eat out a lot. You're not going to be able to go hang out with friends. You're not going to go be able to take those three or four trips that you wanted to take. Let's talk about spiritual. Guess what? You're gonna have to be conscious of not being okay with all the sins that you've been doing and just been okay with. Mm. Spiritual, okay, you got to wake up early because you want to dedicate time to the word. All right. Well, now you're sacrificing some sleep or going to sleep a little earlier. Like, all of it is going to push you out of your comfort zone. That's the biggest price to pay.
Yeah, but why are you like flowing through them so fast?
Well, I mean, you could pick the one that you, I mean, do you want to spend 30 minutes on each one? I'm giving a general overview. I said it. Now you could start pointing to which one you want to focus
that
on.
That was good. I just think, again, in this time where I'm personally feeling overwhelmed, like I just catch myself, I don't want to say spiraling, but like having more negative thoughts and be like, oh, is it worth staying up late, like to do what I have to do? Is it worth like pouring out of myself like so much, like giving so much of myself that it is kind of tired? Like you have to be able to do that, you have to fill up your cup, which takes time, takes intentionality. It takes, and then you have to give it again, and then you have to like repeat it because it's an everyday process. Like you can't just read the Bible once and then be done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be, and then I feel like the more that's asked of me, the more I have to dig deeper, because what a negligence or just carelessness of like the more that's asked of me and I keep being the same, like in my spiritual life, my intellectual life. I feel like the more I'm called, the more I have to put in the work. Like I can't just say God's got me, like God's given me this anointing, God's given me this calling. It's like, yes, but it's also like a craft, and like I have to be the best version I can be. Because I take this serious, right? And so I think about that. I think about like with my small business, like TikTok, like, oh, is it really worth it? Like it's been kind of going downhill. Like, do I want to sacrifice again, trying to be creative or like more time doing this? And then the workout I've been enjoying, honestly. So I don't think that's been hard for me right now, but there's probably seasons where like it'll fluctuate. But just thinking like, oh, is it worth it? And I've for sure thought of that, like with finances, like, oh, is it the cost of like saving, you know? Like I haven't thought that for a while, but in the beginning, that was like the kind of the start of our journey of getting better. Mm-hmm. And I would always be like, what would happen if we don't though? Like, what would happen if we don't? Like, we're enjoying the now, like that matters. And like the cost of saving, of saying no right now to say yes in the future, out for me, it was a big cost, like a price to pay. I paid it.
And have you seen the fruits of it?
And I'm grateful for it. Yeah, of course. But it's hard in the moment. And it sucks because you don't know until after if it was worth it. Like, you obviously know.
And that is the whole point of trusting God.
Oh, for sure.
Being in the process.
For sure.
Like, the biggest test through all that might be trusting God.
Yeah.
Because, like, going back to Deuteronomy, like, you're going to the promised land. Buddy, we've been here 40 years.
Yeah.
When? You know, like, and then God is like reminding them over and over again, like, you're going to the promised land. Yeah. You're going to the promised land. You're about to cross over. Here's what you're going to get. Here's what I've done. Here's what I'm going to do. Like, on and on and on and on. All they have is trust. Do they have a certainty? They're probably like doubting, but all they have is trust. And like you said, like at the beginning of the financial, like, yeah, you were like, you were like a cat in the corner, just claws out. Like, I told you, I don't want to. And I'm like, you got to come here. And
no, I wanted to. That's why I was frustrated. Cause you'd be like, you want me to give you a budget. And then you're like going against me. You're like, I'm not the bad guy. Like, do you want to? And then you'd be like, fine, let's just not save. Like, you don't want this. And I'm like, no, but we need it. And okay. Then you were just like frustrated.
But the point is, like you said, it seems like it sucks now. It seems like it. I want that to be emphasized big mm-hmm. time. It seems like it sucks in the now. Oh my gosh, I'm never going to have another chocolate again. Oh my gosh. You're going to tell me that this whole year we're not going to travel anywhere? Oh my gosh, like I have to wake up at 5 a.m. Like it seems like it sucks. But with time, you see the fruits of those labors. Like big time. And I remember you like, you'd have, and I don't think you ever cried, but like you'd have like those moments of like, oh my gosh, babe, like, isn't that amazing? Like my car died and we were just able to just buy a new one. like, oh my gosh, like this emergency came up and like, yeah, it sucked that we had to dip into the savings, but like, isn't it amazing that we have savings? Like, oh my gosh, this family member is going through this and they asked for help. Like, isn't it amazing that we can help them? Mm-hmm. And none of that would have been possible had we not been disciplined in the before.
For sure.
None of that. And that is, again, I love to say this now, but it's like, there's so many universal truths, and that universal truth applies to everything, everything, everything. You pay the price now. Time goes on. It seems like it sucks, but eventually you will see the fruit and you'll be like, oh, I get it now. This makes sense. And then it's usually those moments and the seeing the progress that gets the motor running. And then eventually like the motor is like pristine, purring like a cat, just do, like it's nothing now.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're being driven by motivation. You're being driven by, I already saw the fruit and I know I'm going to continue seeing the fruit. Like being like the engine's running based on like, I know God's got this. Like I doubted him at first, but now like I see the fruits. I see it. The other thing I will say is rhythms are very important. So you start a rhythm of finances. You start a rhythm of working out. You start a rhythm of spirituality. You start any rhythm. The consistency of that rhythm matters a lot. Because if you disrupt that rhythm in a way where you're pushing the brake, that's when you come up to those points where you're like, it's so much harder to start again.
That's if it was running. But running does teach you a lot of, everyone should run. It teaches a lot of things. Because for me personally, if I stop at running, it is harder. And I know for sure, like I'm keeping through it. Like today I was like, I do not want to film. I do not want to, like I'm trying to film for my TikToks. I'm like, I don't want to do the podcast, like just exhausted. But I know if I don't, like it'll be this, what is it, like voice in my head, like you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. Because I've seen in other areas of my life, like the fruit. But for you personally, because you've been getting better in a lot of areas of your life,
mm-hmm.
What was the hardest thing to give up, to stop doing or to start doing or whatever you had to do, like adjustment?
That's hard to answer just because like the moment I make a decision to do something, I'm all in. So I think the hardest part for me personally is the getting started. So like, for example, I remember I ballooned up to like 180, 190 pounds and you'd like shame me here and there. You say like, oh no, it was just jokes or whatever. No, like it was shameful. Couldn't even take my shirt off in front of you.
I don't remember.
No, okay. All right. And I was still like, I don't know if like being stubborn or whatever, but I was just like, you know, whatever. But the moment, I know that the moment that I decide, all right, I got to do something about this. Like, it's a done deal. The hardest part maybe, again, is the beginning part, but like the getting started, but also then just like the organization of my time. That's it. But once I got the organization of my time, I'm locked in. I'm done. I do what I say I'm going to do, and I know I'm going to see the results. So that question will probably be better for you.
I wish we could all just be like you, like just start. Like he wasn't joking of when he decided to go swimming, and he doesn't get like the cheapest, just the bare necessity.
Did I say that I was going swimming?
Yeah, you've already said it.
Here?
You talked about it.
Oh.
And he like, no, he goes all out, like does the research, gets the best of the best, gets it all at once. There's no like slow progression. You talked about how like on Amazon, you just
I don't even remember saying that, honestly.
Oh my goodness. You're going to edit this and be like, oh.
No, yeah, it's just like I in some sense, I don't like to half-ass things. And so I'm just like, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm not going to like just dip my toe in. Like, I'm just going to jump into the pool.
Yeah.
Figuratively and literally, like, and I just have that thought of like, okay, like I'm not running now. I can't bike. Like before, I had like the ankle thing. I could still bike. Now I can't bike or run. So I'm like, I need to do something. And so it just worked out perfectly. Where it's just like, okay, maybe eventually I do a triathlon. So I'm gonna do this swimming. And then I'm just like, hey, here's everything. I like Instagram. It's crazy. Like the moment that you just click one video or whatever, or hint or say, I don't know if they're hearing or whatever, but just all of a sudden, boom. And I'm getting all these like swimming things, and it's just like building up my confidence, like falsely, of course, because I know that the moment I hit that water, I'm like, this is nothing like the video. This is so much harder. But it just like, all right, I'm all in. And so I'm like, okay, I need goggles. I need a cap. I need swimming shorts. I need a kickboard. I need a floaty thingamabob, and I need a bag and this and that. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Because I don't like when I like am mentally fully into something where I hit a roadblock where I'm like, I could have avoided this roadblock. And so that's what I usually do. I do all the research. What do I exactly need to like make this engine just purr? At least like materialistically wise, right? So I'm like, hey, these are all the things that I need. And this is how I'm going to learn. And I'm going to jump in the water. And then the only thing left, the only factor left is myself. Do I get my butt into the pool? Do I drive myself, or do I get another gym membership? Because I'm going to have to get another gym membership. Do I get another gym membership where there's a pool? And am I okay with driving, you know, like the 10, 12, whatever minutes instead of like the 2 minutes that are like right here at the crunch? And I'm like, the only thing left, the only factor left is me. And I know I'm already locked in, and I already know, like, I've kind of worked out the schedule. So I'm like, these days I'm going to go learn how to swim, and that's what I'm going to do. So yeah, again, that question is better for you. What has been the hardest thing for you to sacrifice?
The hardest.
Has it been your sleep? Because I remember you loved your sleep. Has it been the discipline of money? Has it been waking up early? No. But okay. I'm going to be like a little honest with you. And it makes it a little easier that you know that people are watching you. So you're not going to react lie. Like you usually do and or lie. But you don't usually lie. When you start something, you're pretty similar to me. Your hardest part as well is just the starting part. And at least you don't like it from me where I'm like, babe, you should be doing this. You're like, yeah. I'm like, you should be doing, yeah. You should be doing, yeah. It always has to come from an outside source. But whatever it is
same.
That finally like gets you to cross over that line, you start. And you start and it's like immediately you're like, granted, you do need fuel, but that for you, fuel is like words of affirmation. And so if it's not freely given, you'll ask me like, babe, did you see me like 3 days in a row? babe, 4 days in a row. Babe, do you see do you notice a difference? Like it's crazy, no? But like the moment that you start, like the TikTok, you didn't start half-assed. You were like, all right, I'm going to try it. The waking up early to do your devotionals and your journaling, it wasn't like, oh, like I'll start with 2 days a week. No, you were like, oh, I'll do it Monday through Friday. Boom. Like you're pretty similar to me. I think because maybe, I don't want to offend anybody, but maybe because you're a woman, you feel the feelings a little more like, yes, I know this is good for me. And I know I want to stick to my word and have integrity. But like, I didn't want to wake up at 5 a.m. today. And so like, but whatever, I'm going to do it anyways. But then the one thing that I've always seen with you, similar to me, is that you are also fueled by progress. When you see, oh my gosh, like 30 days in a row I've done this, like that's consistency. And you fuel yourself of like, I am a consistent person now, where I used to feel like I wasn't before, now you are. And you've said that before. You used to not be a person of discipline. You used to not be a person that was consistent. And you've done it. I think To be honest, I think your biggest problem is when you slightly hit the brake and you're like, I deserve some time off. That is your biggest, that's your kryptonite. Because when you start back up, you're like, oh my goodness. It's like you took 4 to 5 weeks off the gym and then you finally decide, I'm going to go back to the gym. And I feel like I'm going to feel like when I first like took my time off. And then you figure out, I used to be lifting 300 pounds. I can't even budge this now. Now I have to start at 100 again. And I think for you, probably maybe mentally, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm starting at the beginning again. I had the progress already. I had the motor running. And now I have to start at the beginning and feel like I'm sluggish and I have to get the rhythm of this. And I have to figure out these kids in my school and I have to figure out the whole schedule. And granted, like there were some pebbles and curveballs thrown your way at the start of this year. And you're like, nah, I have to figure this out too. Like, I think that has been your biggest, like, almost punch to your own gut where you're like, it's like you're starting fresh again. And that's why I said, like, one of the most important things is, like, when you have a good rhythm going, like, keep it going. And you, we talked about this, like, episodes back where you're like, oh, like, summer, I think I'm going to continue going and episode. Blah, 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 blah. And then we were talking about that and I'm like, I don't know. You kind of change up in summer and you're like, no, I think I'm going to continue going. And anyways, what happened. And now you're starting back up. And yeah, I think it's just like starting a cold engine. Like it's going to take some time, but, and then I'll also tell you as well, like you need to have a plan. I get you. Like one of these days we were talking about it and that's when I told you like, babe, you need a plan. Because in that moment, I did put myself in your shoes and I'm like, okay, how would I do this? And I think a lot of times it's simply just mapping it out. And just in that mapping out, that's where you kind of give yourself grace. Like, okay, am I going to figure this out on day one? Probably not. Like, let me give myself 2 weeks of grace of whatever, you know, like the TikTok thing, whatever. Like, maybe you're like, okay, maybe I'm not going to be able to do 3 times a day or whatever like I used to, but let me start at least faithfully once every single day and give yourself grace. And about the 2-3 week mark, I'm going to start 2 weeks or 2 a-days or 3 a-days or whatever. Like mapping it out, I think is going to be your biggest, mapping out and planning out is going to be your biggest asset to be able to get back to where you were before and then still moving forward. Because it's just about catching the rhythm. And like, again, you went from 100 miles per hour to like 10 miles per hour. And now you want to be back to 100 miles per hour. And you can't just, you're going to blow out the engine from 10 to 100. And you kind of go back to the whole 1% better every day.
Yeah, but I mean, we can agree to disagree. I don't think you... I can still operate in summer 100% because school is like the big thing, the big block. Because that I was still working out. That I would wake up at 5. Like I didn't mind waking up. Like I'm like, if I have to wake up, I told you.
Grace. Okay, now you're, as the kids say, capping.
I told you, if the kids come into the bed, oh, I'm such a sucker. I want to cuddle with them because I can't do
that.
The
kids went into the bed almost every day.
Well, that's on them.
No, that's on you.
When they didn't, I woke up at 5 a.m.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, like it's hard to mimic that experience in the summer. So I think that's where we all have as teachers saying, like, it is, especially like the emotional, intellectual toll it takes, like just of hearing your name 100 times a day, let's say, and going to like every second you're multitasking, you're working on this lesson, you're helping the student, you're answering this email, like you're grading, you're trying to do it all within work hours, which is like near impossible. And then going to like my 2 kids, like it's hard to mimic, but I get what you're saying of like as best as possible to mimic your routine so that it doesn't, it's not a shock to your body or system.
Mm-hmm.
But going back, I think part of the comfort too is like I hate feeling like controlled or like set in a box.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why I like teaching, because I feel like I have a boss, but I am my own island.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can decide what rules are in this class. I can decide the lessons. I can decide how I'm going to do it. And when I hear, like, I'm getting better at my Google Calendar. Now I have one. I'm using it. I've been consistent with that. But when I hear, like, plan, like, your every single day, like, something inside of me, like, hates it. Like, I hate it.
But that is exactly, exactly the same as our financial journey.
Oh, for sure.
Where Dave Ramsey and our financial coach said, every single dollar needs a name.
And I hated that, yeah.
And you freaking hated it. And you've seen the fruits in the exact same way. Every single minute, every single hour needs a name. Because if not, you are literally wasting it. And it's one thing that your mom used to always say, and actually one day just slapped me with it, was like, you know what currency that we have every single day and that we lose it and then we can never get it back? It's time. The moment that you lose that time, or the moment that you spent, however you spent that time, you never get that back. You spent it. Did you spend it wisely? Or did you not spend it wisely?
Hmm. Yeah. That's good talks. Good talks. So I'm going to make a plan. So that you guys can keep me accountable.
And this is a good contrast. This is a very good contrast. Because my life doesn't change all that much, right? Your life changes every so often. When you get like those week off, like spring break or Thanksgiving or whatever, I don't feel like you get disrupted that much because it's very short. But obviously taking like a whole summer off, I saw it like that it changed your whole rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. Mine doesn't change that much. And so like, you see the contrast of what could happen when things change. And then you, hopefully you guys are seeing like, okay, like I'm learning from Grace because now I am seeing like there is benefits to trying to, when my life changes, trying to have the engine still running, keeping that same rhythm because, yeah. If you allow it to completely disrupt your rhythm, that's when things get tough again. Because now, again, it's like you're starting from fresh. You're starting from 0 miles per hour. You're barely turning on the engine. And I think if that happens, again, same thing that I told Grace and I tell you guys is just map it out. Plan it out. Prioritize is a huge thing as well. Because you feel like you have like a bunch of things that just fell on your plate and you're just like, I feel like I need to do them all at the same time, which might not necessarily be true. They might not, when you really look at it, they might not all have the same priority level. And when you work that out, whether that's paper or whatever, like you could see like, okay, here's my very top priorities, my second, third, fourth, fifth or whatever. And it's kind of like the same thing as like a debt snowball. Okay, let's start at the, well, actually kind of the opposite, because this one you would start at the top and work your way down. Whereas a debt snowball, you start from the bottom and work your way up. But that also, especially for you, would really tune into that fuel to the fire of progress. Like, okay, my top priority, like I ended up figuring it out. I got the rhythm now. Mm. And you're like, okay, I'm doing great. And I'm sure you're going to be like, oh my gosh, David, like, do you see me? Did you see? 3 days. And then same thing for the second, third, fourth, fifth. And like, yeah, like for the third, fourth, fifth, whatever, you might have to give yourself grace. Like, it's not going to be right now.
Yeah.
But that I'm going to get it done. You're going to get it done. And I can stand here with all firmness and be like, I know that when you set your mind to something, it gets done.
It'll always get done. Whether I'm in a good headspace or not is a different thing, but it always gets done.
And we also talked about when you feel overwhelmed, your box, if you want to call it, becomes shadowy. It becomes dusty in there and you can't really see clearly. And that's the other thing that you have to mentally fight against. Although to me, it seems shadowy in here. Although to me, it seems like I don't see a light. I know that this is just kind of like a mirage. Like it's not true. Mm. I know that the truth is that there's clarity in here, that God is in here, that I'm going to be able to get out of this feeling of overwhelming. It's going to take time. It's not going to be the snap of the finger. Everything's not just going to magically go away. But I've been here before where I've had to get things done. I've got them done. That's like the identity of you yourself. And also, you also tapping into the identity of God. Like, I know that God has carried me through similar situations. And it seemed the same way back then, but I saw the fruit of it, you know?
Thank you. I knew that. So keep me up accountable, you guys, about the plan I'll put into search engines.
So what would you say were the key takeaways, just in case somebody like...
I think the key takeaways is there's always a cost that it will always be better.
Than now.
The investment is always worth it, because you're not going to see fast results. But when you're there, you're going to be like, I wish I started earlier.
Yeah.
And that you said rhythms are important, to continue the rhythms. And just, mate, you can't go anywhere without a plan, like anywhere good without a plan. You need to do it with intentional. And so be intentional about saying, okay, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get there?
Mm-hmm. And I would add one more thing. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And what I mean is, when you're about to do something that's out of your comfort zone, check yourself in the sake of, do not try to manipulate the situation. Do not try to find a shortcut. Do not try to like just tiptoe around actually doing it. Do it. Whether it's a small version, but you are going to fully cross over, like, do it.
Yeah.
Don't try to manipulate things, because then you will turn into Israel in the desert, and you'll be there 40 years asking, when am I going to get to the promised land? And buddy, you've been disobedient the whole time. You've been trying to find shortcuts the whole time. You've
wanted your way.
Wanted your way the whole time.
Yeah.
You've been finding different idols or whatever, for the sake of like health or whatever. You thought Ozempic was going to be the answer for you. You thought XYZ medicine was going to be, you thought steroids was going to be the answer for you. Like, those became your idols, and those, you were going to them to solve your things or do your things. And it's just like, don't try to do that. Don't try to manipulate things. Just do the work that you know that you have to do, that, but that you might not want to do. It's going to be tough at first, because your comfort is going to be challenged. But over time, grace is a perfect, we're both perfect like testimonies of like, we've seen the fruits of discipline and putting in the work and fully diving into the deep end. Like, we've seen it.
Yeah.
And that's why I said like, oh, I'm going to go back to it. This was in what I was saying before. It was Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, from verse 7 to 10. And this is what it says. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, and the land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive tree and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills, whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And basically what I wrote here was, there are people you could say that are living in that promised land described in this passage, like right now. And I put, I feel myself and Grace are in a sort of promised land. We are able to live comfortably. We're able to enjoy our family. We're able to travel and see the beauties God has created. We're able to really feel like we lack nothing, and we are able to give our kids what they need and desire. That is all because of God. It came from obedience to the principles laid out in the Bible. It came from discipline laid out by God in this book. It definitely has had no short of difficulties, tests, and probably discipline. We have tried our best, and we can clearly know it was not by us, but by God that we are living in these moments. I have a job I should have never had. So in this moment, I thank God for having us where he has us. I thank God for having us in this sort of promised land. I thank God that he has allowed us to experience overflow. I am grateful that we have a strong foundation. We have good habits and wisdom, thanks to God, and we are living in abundance. I am grateful for the process and grateful for the privilege to be a blessing. We will never forget, and we will tell these stories to our children so they may know that God, that we, the God that we serve, so that they may know the God that we serve, so they may learn the lessons, so they may be grateful, although they have not exactly seen or experienced what we've gone through, but they will hear and hopefully understand the lessons that they are being told and shown.
Amen.
And that's basically it. Like, through the little that we've been like really digging deep into Deuteronomy, I've just seen over and over again, be obedient, be obedient, be obedient. It was a lack of obedience that did not allow Israel to go into the promised land. Over and over again, be obedient. Listen to the instructions. We have the instructions. It's in the Bible. All like the principles that you need in life are in the Bible. Obey God, and you're going to step into a promised land, a sort of promised land, because I believe, you know, our eternal promised land is, you know, being being with God, but like a sort of like metaphorical, whatever, like promised land here on earth. Like to be able to, like for me, that's why I wrote it. Like I'm so grateful to be in that sort of promised land where me and you are just like, if our kids need something, we got it. Mm-hmm. When our kids go to like university, that is what we're, you know, saving for, or making the right choices now so we can be prepared for those. When we have people around us that are in moments of need, we can be of blessing to them. Like that to me is like so, such a big reason to be grateful for.
Yeah.
You know? And again, it's thanks to God that he's just simply been like, obey and watch what's going to happen. And I think, again, the finish line or like the fairy tale should never be the goal for you. It should be serving God and being a blessing to others, right? But when you follow these certain principles, like these blessings are, what do I always call them?
Byproduct.
A byproduct, exactly. They're a byproduct of you just simply obeying God. Just God's just like, obey me and watch what's going to happen.
Yeah. But I think that's the biggest cost, or like the biggest thing we have to give up or get rid of, which is our own understanding or our way of thinking that's best for us, or the way that we think we're going to enjoy it more. Like we put ourselves in a bubble thinking like, if I can do it this way, I'd be more happier. If I can just do it this way, I'll get there faster. And so we become unhappy with what like God has set out. And so we don't want to reach it. But that's the, like the first thing we need to give up, like that pride saying, like what Eve did, that is God really holding out on me?
Yeah.
Like, I think I know more.
Yep, you're completely right. Give up your pride and obey and trust God. Simple as that.
Simple as that? Thank you guys for watching. I hope my voice didn't annoy a lot of people because it sounds weird. I'm losing my voice. But we truly appreciate all your guys' support. Trust me, every time we get a comment in person or you text us or leave a comment, we get so excited. We share it with each other and it means a lot to us. It gives us the fuel that we need to keep on going. And so we don't take it for granted. We ask that you like, share, subscribe if you haven't already, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
See ya.